Honorable Faiza Mustafa, you have 17 minutes.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, thankful to be given the opportunity to speak at the committee stage with regard to women and children. Today is also Children's Women's Day, Honorable Minister. Sri Lanka has achieved a lot in relation to women. We had the first woman who became head of state. At present, our Prime Minister is a woman, our Chief Justice is a woman, and at present we have the highest number of women representing in Parliament compared to any stage, any era. So as regards to women, we have women in high officers, we have a DIG who is a woman, so women are holding office all over. Even at local government level, Honourable Deputy Speaker, we have over 23% women. The Provincial Council Elections Act also has a 25% quota for women. So if you look at it, Sri Lankan women are progressive. We have achieved a lot. But unfortunately, Honorable Minister, we are a male chauvinistic society. We have a 52% population. How many of our women are part of our workforce is a question. There is an issue which I would like to raise with regard to Muslim women in this country. As you are aware, the Muslim Marriage and Divorce Act was brought about in 1951. The community has been the community was agitating with regard to certain reforms. Various committees, various meetings. We as Muslim politicians also should be held responsible with regard to not bringing the certain amendments which should have been brought about. Minister, you are aware of it. Some of these issues are, as you are aware, in terms of the General Marriage and Divorce Ordinance, the age of marriage is 18. The Muslim community, as a community, is a consensus that it should be 18. Say, Honorable Minister, I don't think there is any impediment you bring about that reform, unless under exceptional circumstances there should be a proviso. In addition, if you take the Muslim woman's right to sign the marriage certificate or give a consent, we should bring in reform which provide that a Muslim woman at the time of marriage should sign the marriage certificate. That's urgent reform which needed, and I don't think you need to wait any longer. There is consensus among the community to do that. And also, if you take our Qazi court system, other divorces are adjudicated under the district court. If you look at the Qazi court system, we need the Qazi court system because it's a personal law to us, but it needs to be strengthened. We need to bring in amendment where women are entitled to be members, judges of the Qazi court. That's urgent reform. And also, if you say the district court, lawyers are adjudicating who have become judges. We need to have persons of competence to be appointed. So consider appointing judges to the Qazi courts also. Therefore, their salaries should be attractive and the facilities also need to be attractive if you are to bring about that change. So as regard to the Muslim Marriage and Divorce Act, urgent reforms are needed and I hope you will consider bringing them as soon as possible. In addition, if you take the issue of maintenance, the maintenance is adjudicated in the magistrate court, but if a Muslim woman wants to get maintenance, you first have to go to the Qazi, get an order and enforce it in the magistrate court. So I would suggest that there be provision that a direct mechanism where a Muslim woman also could go direct to the magistrate's court and seek maintenance. Honorable Minister, with regard to the judiciary, I had to bring an issue which is not part of your consultative committee, but it's a matter of national importance. At present, in relation to the appointment of judges from the High Court to the Court of Appeal, there are three institutions. That is the President, the Chief Justice, the Constitutional Council. Even though there is no constitutional process by convention in recommending of judges' names to the Constitutional Council, the President by convention consults the Chief Justice on the basis that the Chief Justice is the head of the judiciary. Unfortunately, in Sri Lanka, when a person's appointment or promotion is due, we have a petition culture, not only with regard to judiciary, everywhere. If anybody has to get a promotion, there's always a petition trying to prevent this promotion, which results in the person who's entitled to the promotion by virtue of seniority being overlooked, on the basis that an inquiry had been initiated on a petition. This results in certain occasions where the persons who are entitled to promotions being overlooked on the basis of inquiry. Some of the frivolous petitions have been lodged purely to deprive the promotions. Consequent to the names being sent to the Constitutional Council, deliberations are only being held with regard to the suitability of the names being sent and does not touch upon the names of the senior most judges whose names which have been overlooked. The deliberations do not provide for a mechanism where a judge is entitled to a promotion by way of seniority against whom a purported complaint has been made, is granted an opportunity to provide a repudiation or an explanation as regards to the complaint. As you know, there is legitimate expectations with regard to everybody, but when it comes to judges, we don't have that. And also, when a senior most person is overlooked, they also have families. Society looks at them in a different form. There needs to be a collective process where a senior most judge who feels that his name has unjustly not been recommended to place his grievance before the Chief Justice and the Constitutional Council, and the merits and demerits of his grievance be considered before depriving the senior most judge the promotion. I read this because I didn't want to go wrong, because this deals with the judiciary. Now I come to present day's topic. Something which I believe, Honourable Minister, daycare centres. If we are to get more women into our workforce, we need to bring them. We need to improve the quality of our daycare centres and also have more daycare centres within organisations. So if they, even the private sector should be compelled to have a daycare centre. Thereby, that's the only way of attracting more women to join the workforce. Also, when women work overseas or somewhere otherwise, there should be a mechanism where the welfare of the children is looked after by having daycare centres and also preschool education that they are not deprived of. Another important factor, Honourable Minister, is the estate wages. Today, an estate worker gets 1,350. Socially and economically, the most deprived in Sri Lanka is the estate sector. I think at the wages board, the last regime tried to increase it to 2,000. Members of your party also were members of the wages board. I would urge you to speak to the Minister of Plantation and the Labour Minister and see that the 2,000 rupees is given, because always you will have estate owners milking the profits and not giving the estate employee the 2,000 rupees. That is justly due, and therefore I believe women are the most affected, the estate women are the most affected. I started my politics from the Ceylon Workers Congress, so therefore the estate worker is always an area which I would touch upon. Honourable Minister, I would like to read a report with regard to rape and domestic violence in this country. I'll read this. One of the greatest problems in the country is the gender-based violence against women, especially in the public transport system. That has also been raised. As per UN survey conducted in 2013, Daily Mirror editorial on the day on 5/3/2025, 3 out of 5 women are victims of domestic violence, and a woman is raped every 90 minutes in our country. However, less than 5% is brought to book. We have a domestic violence mechanism. It's a very powerful tool. So if you can work with the police have workshops to empower women, and in addition to empower women also to have an awareness program, not empower, to have an awareness program where the Domestic Violence Act can be contents with regard to brought to the public domain. Because in terms of the Domestic Violence Act, if a woman is abused or threatened, she can go to the magistrate's court and get a restraining order. So therefore, but unfortunately, women are not aware of it. So there, and it's a very simple mechanism. It's a very powerful tool. You can get an order to prevent the man who purposes violence against his wife, restrain even from coming to the home. So therefore, please look at it. That's a very important aspect. Then if you look at women who go overseas for employment, unfortunately, the majority of the women who go, they go as housemaids, and they are unskilled workers or skilled at a lower level. We need to promote more skilled women living in the country. Especially when women go as housemaids, there is a grave social cost, and that also should be looked into, and we should try to discourage women having young children from going as housemaids by giving them opportunity in Sri Lanka to empower themselves. I believe that a lot of self-employment programs have been initiated, and thereby a lot of women who thought they need to go abroad have opted otherwise not to leave the country. Another important issue which women in this country face is sexual harassment at the workforce. We have a society where they are shy to go and say that they have been sexually harassed by their bosses. But sexual harassment in Sri Lanka takes place. You have a lot of people in power. There is sexual harassment against people who are the employees. So you should have a 24-hour call center where the issue of sexual harassment is dealt with. And you must encourage women who are raped, women who are sexual harassed, women who are subject to domestic violence, to bring those to book. Unfortunately, they feel that there is a social stigma. A woman who is raped is scared to go and make a police complaint, thinking that if she goes and makes a complaint, society will look at her in a different way. Unfortunately, she's a victim. So we need to educate society also that these people should not be looked at in a different way. Unfortunately, if a woman is raped, the victim has a difficulty in finding somebody finding a partner. So this is a serious issue. So we really need to look at it seriously. In addition, if you take children in this country, child abuse takes place in a great. We need to bring in a mechanism. Generally, if you take schools, there are instances where teachers are sexually harassed. Children. But a child is not aware what is sexually harassment, what is sexually being harassed. So in schools, they should include it in the curriculum. And every school should have a program where they tell children, if anybody sexually harasses you, the law will take care of you. And in addition, in schools, there should be a mechanism where there is a special dedicated either to the principal or a special person assigned, where any child who is sexually harassed by their school teacher or any teacher can go and complain. This has sexual harassment of children is in the rise. So that has to be looked in very seriously. And in addition, if you look at the opportunity given, children in the north have suffered a great deal.
Honorable Faiza Mustafa, you have one more minute.
They are victims of war. We need special a program to empower them. So if you can give focus with regard to widows and orphans, especially in the northern province, we need to address them, because they have really suffered during that period. And how do we empower them? I'm sure we could get a lot of foreign aid in relation to that. Also, the Sri Lankan expats living abroad, I'm sure will contribute immensely towards this program. So if you can initiate a specific program to empower those widows and children who have suffered in the north and accelerate the program, that would be a great help socially, because they need upliftment. So, Honourable Minister, you have been given a ministry and a task. We have 52% of women in this country look up to you to change their economic and social standard. And I believe that you can give the leadership. And I hope you take cognizance of certain issues which I raised with regard to empowering the women and also issues with regard to children. Thank you, Honourable Minister.
Honourable Samanmali Gunasinghe, you have 12 minutes.
Garuniya Jakata Nayaka Tumani, 2025 ayavaya tule kaanthave shirshaya gana katha karaddi mama kemathi mulinma
Honourable Minister
kiyanna.
Yes, Honourable Saroja Pawarma.
මට විනාඩියක කාලයක් ලබා දෙන්න කතානායකතුමනි. බොහොමත්ම ස්තුතියි අපේ ෆයිසර් මුස්තාෆා මන්ත්‍රීතුමාගේ යෝජනා සියල්ලටම. එතුමා බොහොම සාධනීය කරුණු ටිකක් ඉදිරිපත් කරා. විශේෂයෙන්ම අර මුස්ලිම් විවාහ සහ දික්කසාද නීතිය සම්බන්ධව කාරණාවේදී ඒක පෞද්ගලික නීතියක් හැටියට තමයි අපි සලකන්නේ. ඇත්තටම අපි ඒකේදී අපි බලාපොරොත්තු වුණු එකම දේ ඔබතුමා කතා කරා වගේම අපිටත් තියෙන ලොකුම දේ දරුවන්ගේ අධ්‍යාපනය තහවුරු කිරීමේ කියන අයිතිය ළමයින්ට අධ්‍යාපනය ලබා දීම කියන කාරණාව සම්බන්ධයෙන් තමයි අපි පෙනී ඉන්නේ. ඒ නිසා මත් මේ අවස්ථාවේදී තමත් වගකීමෙන් කියනවා අපි ඒකපාර්ශ්විකව තනිවම කිසිදු සංස්කරණයක් නෙමෙයි අපි ඔබතුමන්ලා එක්ක සිවිල් සංවිධානයක ආගමික සංවිධාන අපි සියලු දෙනාම එකතු වෙලා වඩාත් හොඳ තීරණයකට යමු. ඒ වෙනුවෙන් අපි මල්ටි සෙක්ටෝරල් කමිටි එකක් හදනවා කියන කාරණාව මම මේ අවස්ථාවේ ප්‍රකාශයට පත් කරන්න කැමතියි.